You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
If you walk through the garden, you better watch your back.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That is some the theme music from the show The Wire. And it's a perfect lead-in, folks, because my next guest is a big fan of the show, and you know him from Civic Media, his amazing work he does here. He is the founder of the Recombobulation area here at Civic Media, but you also know him as a good Milwaukee guy, a lover of all things sports, entertainment, and specifically politics. Mr. Dan Schaefer joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, buddy.
Mr. Schwabe, wonderful to finally join you here.
We've been talking about this.
To talk about the greatest show of all time, HBO's The Wire.
It's fantastic. I have been looking forward to this. How are you? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. You know, it's been a crazy week in and around Milwaukee with the floods that we've been experiencing here. We lucked out. We were not really, didn't have any damage at our place. We live on the top of a hill on the west side of Milwaukee. So right up, but just down the river, or just down the hill from us is the Menominee River. And right up there is where you've seen a lot of these flood videos from, you know, downtown Wauwatosa, the Tosa Village area, and up and through the river there. I spent some time today getting some video and footage for the news team here in Germantown, where there was water covering like four lanes of traffic on a fairly large road. Gosh. It's just been absolutely crazy. It's been a lot, but wonderful to join you here to talk about
a little escape for you, Dan, maybe?
Little escape. Yeah, there we go.
Do you have a least favorite professional sports or least favorite professional sport?
Yeah, I saw you guys were talking about that beforehand here. I think I'm going to agree with you, Pete. I'm not a golf fan.
Same.
I'm not a golfer. I played a little bit when I was younger, but I just like I couldn't really get into it at all. And then watching it, it's just like watching paint dry. it's just the most boring sport to be watching at all. And it's just like you quiet watching the guy walk up to the tee, and it's the most boring one to watch. But you know what? I will say though that I think this is a really I'm kind of fascinated by like all the weird sports that you guys have been talking about too.
Yeah.
And just like I really like watching SportsCenter this time of year, because you're like in the middle of August and there's no, you know, there's no drama happening in any professional sport right now, right?
Right.
Like, we're past the All-Star break in baseball. We're not quite yet to the postseason. You know, preseason football is just getting started. The NBA is fully in its off-season mode. So you just don't have anything going on. And it's just funny to see, you know, these SportsCenter anchors try to fill time, you know, talking about whatever's going on here and whatever, you know, and you just get a good variety. Like, I like seeing some WNBA highlights because I'm a big basketball fan.
Yeah.
Just seeing like random baseball highlights from around the country, that's always good. But it's a weird time of year for sports. And the fact that we haven't had, you know, it's not Olympics year.
Right.
There's no World Cup. Like, this has been a very slow summer for sports.
But you're right, though. The best thing is watching news anchors try to really sell it, you know, when there's just not a lot going on. I get a kick out of that. So, But yeah, golf is the same. The best thing that ever happened to golf, in my opinion, was the movie Caddyshack. So that's my extent of my love for golf right there. But
100% with you there.
All right. So let's jump in. Oh, I wanted to tell you, too, Dan, I think you had a big influence, pardon me, on Governor Evers deciding not to run again.
And I don't think so.
I'm not going to say it was all you, Dan, but, you know, you're a pretty influential guy, and I just hope you don't say the same things about the host of Nightlight, because I like this gig, so...
I'm all for another term for Pete Schwabe on Nightlight.
Let's jump into the whole reason you're here. Well, we'd have you here anyway, but the show, yes. The Wire. Tell me what you love about it and how you first discovered it and why you love it, Dan.
Well, I really do think, you know, we're in this kind of golden age of TV right?
Yeah.
For the past, you know, however many years, you know, starting to get kind of like the cinematic type of approach to television that really began, I think, with HBO in the early 2000s in a lot of ways. And so I didn't, and I think one of the shows that I loved at the time was Lost. And once I started getting into Lost, then I started like branching out into other shows. And I found The Wire. I want to say it was like late 2007, early 2008 when I was in college, and just really started getting it. I don't watch a lot of like the Law and Order type shows typically, but people kept telling me to check this one out. So I got into it. And once I got about halfway through the first season, I was just absolutely hooked. I had to watch everything as fast as I possibly could. The characters are so rich. The acting is so well done. The writing is on another level. It's like I really do think it's kind of the great American novel of this era that David Simon and the rest of the team there were able to portray. And then each season just kind of revealing another layer of the city of Baltimore, you know, the first season really starting with the police and the drug trade and you know, that element of how that impacted the city and then really opening things up to the port in the second season and really taking what seemed like a, you know, kind of a wild left turn. But it just goes, I think the you know, the real kind of through line theme of the show is that all the pieces matter. And they really went through all of the pieces in so many rich, detailed, and often funny ways. Like,
yeah.
I thought, you know, I don't think people really think of The Wire as a funny show on the surface, but so many of the characters, all of any Bunk McNulty scenes,
know,
there's so many great stuff throughout the show. And I think it does, the fact that it has a little bit of a sense of humor to it makes it all the more real and really brings it all home. And then, of course, you know, I'm the political editor here, right? So once they start getting into the politics of it all, I was super interested in that, and I still think the fourth season of the show when they bring on this cast of kids who are what is it, middle school age kids, kind of this coming of age piece of it, and how that was conflicting with, you know, the rest of what was going on in Baltimore that they were showing, I think that is still the single greatest season of TV ever made.
And it's such a great, very well said, Dan, but that's such a great season too, because didn't they call back the Presbyluski character? And the way they worked him back in, he was a cop and I think he shot a couple people or his gun went off and he had to leave. Now he's a teacher and they worked that back in. So they're great at that too. But you said something I really agree with. What I love about The Wire is it's got a little bit of everything, but it also takes its time. Like there's no big action sequence or HBO let them do what the producers wanted to do. Like, and you mentioned comedy and it's great, but it's realistic when they cut their ties off, like when one of them falls asleep and they'll cut their coworkers.
Yeah.
And I think somebody cuts Bunk's tie off and kisses the tie and sticks them. it's a treasure. The show is just, and like you said, to go five seasons, but 12 episodes. They're not doing the broadcast TV 26 episodes where they're just pulling at everything to try to make it entertaining. All the seasons are tight. And from the first time we meet Avon Barksdale and his crew in season one, I would agree with you. I love the season with the kids in four, but I think my favorite is probably season three when Bunny Colvin becomes a character. And for those of you listening, my guest is Dan Schaefer. He is our political editor here at Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. He does such great work. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him here at Civic Media. And he is a huge fan, as am I, of the show The Wire. So that's what we're talking about here tonight. Bunny Colvin in season three shows up and he gets the go-ahead to make a certain area where people can buy drugs and they hand out condoms. And all this stuff happens in this one area and the crime rates in the rest of the city go down, but they have an issue. What did you think of that season, Dan?
Bunny Colvin is on the very short list of my favorite characters on the show.
Same.
And I thought that was such a smart way to bring these things in, and the way that, you know, he was just kind of being this like renegade police captain, and then eventually that conflicted with what was happening in City Hall and with the campaigns, and you know, how it even impacted, you know, the just kind of like, you know, the junkie characters right. that they had on the show too. And it's just like all of a sudden there's, you know, some public health component to get like a
right.
Like you said, their condoms are clean, you know, different things like that. So yeah, I thought that was so interesting, and the way that you know, that connected to the following season too, because Bunny Colvin tried the whole thing with Hamsterdam that they called it in season three.
That's right.
And then the way it connects to, he also goes back to one of the schools in season four and talks to the boys. And I thought, you know, it's not a show that has a lot of happy endings.
Right.
Right. It's not it's a tragedy in a lot of ways.
Correct.
But I think the story, the arc that has a true happy ending involves Bunny Colvin. And one of the boys from that fourth season, and that final shot of, you know, the of what was it, Naaman, was that his name? I'm bad with names. The boy that basically Bunny Colvin had taken in by the end of the season.
Oh yeah.
And there's that shot, they're at the nice part of Baltimore and they're just looking over the street corner, and it's just like this serene image, and he just finally made it. And that just really sticks with me, is just, you know, the payoff of that. You know, you have, like you said, everything is so dense and detailed and rich. And these storylines really pay off. And that's one of them, with Bunny Colvin and all the struggles that he went with as a police captain, with City Hall, all of the different things. And the fact that, you know, he is part of one of the positive storylines in the show, I thought was just phenomenal.
Absolutely. Bunny Colvin, played by Robert Wisdom. He's one of my favorite characters too. And he has that great, you're right, he's really, I identify him with season three more, but you're right, he had a big part in season four. Here's a clip of Bunny Colvin. I want to play this. It's about a minute and a half long. And the character Bubbles, who is such another tragic character that you just love. Do we have time for the clip, Con? We could play it coming out of the break if we don't.
Yeah, we got it's about a minute and a half and we got 2 minutes left.
So. All right, so if we keep talking like this, we're running out of time.
Yes.
All right. We'll play it when we come back from the break. But Bunny Colvin, in the clip, I'll just set up, Bubbles is a great tragic character. And you're right, Dan, the show is a tragedy, but like the little victories are what make it worth watching. And yeah, it's just like real life. You have this great thing and you've got this police captain or lieutenant, whatever Bunny was, who thinks outside the box. And Bubbles is teaching a guy how to scavenge. Basically what happened in season three, they had this, I don't remember what they called it, but it was the place where you could go buy condoms and drugs and there was no violence. And police weren't beating on people and the drug dealers weren't robbing each other. And it was like things had calmed down, but for political reasons, they knocked down the entire, it was like a four block radius. And it's Bunny just standing there looking over the wreckage of this concept that he had that worked, and then Bubbles teaching a guy, a fellow drug addict, how to scavenge and look for metal and turn that in for money. And he and Bunny have such a great just a great rapport. They have this quick little conversation, and we'll play that right when we come back. Dan Schaefer is here, folks. I also forgot Dan, Jamie Hector's in that show, and I love Jamie Hector. He plays Marlo. So we'll talk more about The Wire with our guest, Dan Schaefer, after this very short break. And we're going to play the clip I was just discussing. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. And it's great to have you here on this Tuesday night in the beautiful state of Wisconsin.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I hope you're listening, because I'm trying to school you here.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't want to know. Well, you think you're brown, but you're still green. How you doing? That's something, huh? Look like they took a bigger race and loved to cross it.
Yeah.
You know, but before, a Dauphine come down here, cop a little something, they ain't nary a soul hassle him. Hoppers and police, they just let him be.
It's a good thing, huh?
I'm just saying. You probably don't know, but there's love out there, baby. Cops be back banging on you. Hoppers be messing with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Coppers and hoppers, Dan. They were leaving people alone. It's hard. Bubbles is so funny. I love the way he used to say, McNulty. Hey, McNulty. McNulty. Hey, McNulty. He's hard to understand sometimes, but he's such a great character. And that was, and that's an example of what I was saying before about how the show just takes its time. They're just looking over this wreckage and they're letting it breathe.
Absolutely. So few shows really do that the way that The Wire does. And I think that's part of what makes it so great. You know, people will do their list of the best shows of all time, you know, and it'll be The Sopranos or Breaking Bad or whatever it might be. Whenever people ask me that, it's just like the argument's for second. The Wire is number one. If we want to have the argument about, you know, whether it's the, you know, Sopranos or Mad Men or whatever the show is that's second place, we can have that. But nothing really has approached what The Wire was able to do. And with such a, you know, each season added so many characters to the cast too. And you get all the way to the end and they're weaving so many of these storylines in through it. And it's just remarkable storytelling.
Were you familiar with David Simon's work before The Wire, Dan, either on Homicide: Life on the Street or his work as a reporter? He's such a fascinating guy, the creator of The Wire.
I mean, I knew of Homicide: Life on the Street. It wasn't a show that I really watched a whole lot of. I've learned about his all of his stuff through The Wire. And like I got all the DVDs when they came out back when there were DVDs and all of like the behind the scenes inside looks. I just like ate all of that up. And there was a guy that he worked with there. I think his name was Ed Burns, who was an actual police detective with that he had worked with. He was like basically a source for
and a teacher
and a teacher. So he was able to really bring that knowledge of, you know, I think they based a lot of characters off of real people in Baltimore and all of that too. And I think there were some characters too that they had just leapt off the screen and they made them regulars, like the Omar character, who I think is probably the most iconic character from the show at this point. Like he was not supposed to survive past the first season. And he became, you know, the late Michael K. Williams, phenomenal actor. It's brought so much to that role that they were just like, well, we've got to keep him on. We've got to keep Omar going. And of course, we've got some, you know, so many of the most iconic scenes from the show are Omar scenes.
It's in those of you listening, Omar is a character who robs drug dealers and he makes no bones about it. He walks down an alley and whistles to let people know he's coming. And he's also gay and he's just a very complex, cool character, like not cliche in any way. He was just such a different. And I always meant to Google or research if that was based on a real person.
I'm not sure that it was. I think his character was kind of like a combination of a few different people from Baltimore.
Okay.
But like that type of character. I mean, this show came out in 2002.
Right.
You know, you have a gay black guy who robs drug dealers being like the most lovable character of the show who came out in 2002. It's so groundbreaking at so many levels.
Pete,
do you have a favorite character from the show? Everybody always has like a favorite character question.
It's funny,
show.
Dan, I tried to make a list earlier and I had Bunny first. I had Bunk and McNulty, a tie as kind of a package deal because they were so funny. Love Omar. Lester Freeman is kind of a forgotten character, and he's the guy that actually runs The Wire, and he's just kind of this old weathered kind of wise dude. So he was on my list, and I love Lieutenant Daniels, Lance Reddick, who passed away also. And I loved him on Bosch. So, but what about you?
Well, you mentioned him. Lester Freeman's my favorite character okay. on the show. The guy who's has all the knowledge and all the patience to follow everything through. And I think he was the guy, the real like moral compass of like the police group, because McNulty would be taking things too far in certain ways or whatever it might be. Other guys might be focused on the wrong type of objective in their mission. Lester was always kept it cool, always kept it focused, and he was always the smartest guy in the room.
Very cerebral, a lot. Yeah. I liked Kima Greggs too. She had such a cool voice, and she was just like this gritty street cop. Loved her character as well. I do. Can we keep you for a few more minutes after the news, Dan? I've got a great clip of Omar in court, and so we'll do that.
I know the clip you're talking about.
Yeah, and I want to get your opinion too when we come back, Dan, of the season where they deal with the Baltimore Sun and the dying newspaper, because I thought that was like. Maybe not the most exciting season, but fascinating in its own right. Dan Schaefer is here, folks. He is the political editor here at Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Peach Wabbit and Nightlight, Act 2, coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, this is Peach Wabba and Nightlight. Welcome back, folks. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday. And it's not because, like, I was just taking sips of coffee, but, like, I've been drinking coffee all day. So this is going to be a long night.
You know what I did? I didn't drink coffee this morning just so, because I knew this was going to happen tonight.
That's very responsible behavior.
I had water instead.
But the reason you probably would have been sharper and you would have moved your car, though.
Didn't know that.
You had a little Java.
That was last night.
Oh, okay.
That I did that.
Gotcha. All right. Well, great stuff. Thank you to Big B Coffee. That was fun. All right. So this is exciting, folks, because like we so often do here on Nightlight, we are about to talk movies and TV with one of our frequent flyers. He is a writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He covers entertainment and covers it very well. And he is a frequent guest here, as I mentioned. Chris Foran joins us now. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Pete. How are you? How are you today?
Doing very well. I understand we're interrupting your vacation, so I extra appreciate your time tonight. And but maybe you're already bored on vacation. I don't know.
Well, I'm coming. I spend a chunk of the day with my grandson, so this is as relaxed as I'll get.
Okay, very good. Well, we're happy to help in that case. Is it kind of a staycation, Chris? Those are fun too.
Yeah. We had stuff we had to get done.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's I don't. We've done a lot of traveling, so this is a year to stay home.
That's the way to do it. All right, very good. Do you have a our question of the night, Chris, is what is a movie or TV set where you would feel most at home or you'd want to exist in that world? Do you have one?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, when I was growing up, I was convinced my parents were Rob and Laura Petrie, so I would think the Petrie's household might be one. Although people who know me in more recent years would probably think of me living in the swamp on MASH. That's more likely.
Oh, you don't want to live there. That's terrible. Although you get one of those Hawkeye martinis, which are supposed to be pretty good.
I got a Hawkeye martini set with a cowboy hat and red robe for my college graduation.
That's fun. And if you lived on the set of the Dick Van Dyke Show, you have to live in black and white. So it's
well. You know, it's like Wizard of Oz that people complain about the first half being in black and white, but the truth is Kansas is in black and white. So
very well.
maybe my life is in black. It's hard to say.
It'll be easier probably on some level. Let's jump in and talk some movies here, Chris. You said you're behind, but you've certainly seen a ton of stuff. What did you think of Superman?
I liked that. I thought it was really interesting. If you watch superhero movies, and especially the Marvel ones, every single movie, they're saving the planet, the galaxy,
right. Everything.
Superman saves a squirrel in one scene.
And right.
I mean, he's doing big stuff, but it was almost intentionally dialed back in that sense. And I thought that was okay.
Yeah.
I'm a big Rachel Brosnahan fan. We love to claim that she's from Milwaukee. I think she moved to Chicago when she was like four, but we always the paper, that counts. If you drove through, that counts.
Yeah. And her parents took her. She would have stayed, But, you know, she wasn't really calling the shots at four, so we can forgive her. But you like
that. It was solid. I mean, I mean, it's setting up something, you know, setting up a franchise or something. So it's always kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I was thrilled we didn't see the origin story because I don't want to see those anymore.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it's so funny. A lot of people have said that. And I didn't even realize it while I was, I mean, I guess I noticed it at some point. I was like, oh, there's no really backstory here. And I'm fine with that. They got right into it. And would you agree, Chris, that like, I'm not a technical expert at all, but the CGI in Superman and in Jurassic Park, it has just, I think it's there. It just looks great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things I always talk about with James Cameron movies is that, you know, Titanic, you spend about 3 seconds saying, wow, look at that boat, how impressive that looks. And after, you know, you get past that, you think, why are they saying such dumb lines? You know, but, because the technology is so, he does it so well, you don't notice it as technology. You don't see the string showing. I think, I think all of these movies now, you know, if you watch them on TV, sometimes it looks different, but in a theater, you know, if you think about, you know, like something like the Avengers Endgame movie where there's millions of creatures battling all the time and you're not questioning any of it. You know, that's
right.
That's the goal, right? I mean, the goal is you're not asking what's going on. So.
And I totally agree with you. I mean, I want story above and beyond anything else. I don't even care if the picture looks great, if I'm invested in the characters of the world, but I do like that, you know, in the past, it seems like sometimes the CGI would almost take you out of it. But when Superman was flying, it's like, whoa.
Right. And well, what I always say is I don't want to see the string show. And I mean, you know, that I don't want to think about the fact that it's a movie. I don't care. I do want a plot. I do love dialogue. I'm a word person.
Yeah.
But if the world they're creating is consistent and it doesn't make any sense, that's fine by me too. I think of a movie like Shaun of the Dead, for example. Edgar Wright is very good at this, where he creates these worlds where everything makes sense in its own world, you know? It's obviously very hard to do because not everybody does it. So
nicely put. What about Fantastic Four? I still haven't seen it. I'm not a superhero guy to begin with, but I know Conrad saw Fantastic Four. What did you think about it again, Con?
I really liked it.
Okay. I heard somebody else that really liked it too and said it was the best Fantastic Four movie they had seen. What are your thoughts?
Which is not, for most people, is not a super high bar. The first one that nobody saw was one I think that I forget, like Roger Corman made or something. It's not supposed to be very good. And then the one after that is pretty good. The trick is making those characters connect. And I think they do a lot of that well in this movie. But it was also, again, it was a setup movie. And again, they didn't show the origin, really, just more in flashback, which was nice. I mean, it's such a good cast. I mean, this is sort of like, I think every third movie this summer had either Pedro Pascal
or
Vanessa
God.
Kirby or both, yes. You know, and I think they're all really solid. And I was hoping because there's in the movie Thunderbolts that came out earlier this year, there's a post credit scene where we see the Fantastic Four ship coming in, which was, oh, great. They're going to figure out a way to connect them to the present time. And that they didn't really bring that up in this movie. This movie is set in the 60s. It's some kind of like a Jetsons version of the 60s.
He's taking time off this week to be with us here for a few minutes on Nightlight Tonight. Mr. Chris Foran, we are coming right back after the news with more movie and TV talk with our pal Chris Foran. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Another great show tomorrow night, folks. Jane Matinair from Matinair on Air will be here to make the popcorn pick at 6:35, where we give you a movie suggestion every week and on the first segment on Thursday. And then, Conrad, tell us about Horace Green.
Great
band.
Yeah, they're a band that was just at Mile of Music. And I recently found them because I was doing the Kristen Lyerly show. And she, all the music for her intro.
Oh,
and it was
fantastic.
Phenomenal. So I had to reach out.
they're great. I'm excited to have them here. They will be in studio tomorrow night as well. And another cool thing, David Zucker will be here Monday night, folks, at 6:35, the creator of Airplane and Top Secret and Naked Gun. He will join us at 6:35 on Monday. Very much looking forward to that. Right now, we've got one of our favorites on the line. He covers entertainment for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he drops by here often to talk movies and TV, our pal Chris Foran. Chris, let's start with the heady stuff in this segment. Okay. Happy Gilmore 2. What are your thoughts?
Well, the caveat here is I'm not an enormous Adam Sandler. I'm not a hater at all.
Same.
You know, like it is interesting to me. I have the same. He's in the same boat for me as Will Ferrell is. It makes me feel prudish because, like, the safer, the more PG-13 it is, the more I seem to like it.
Huh.
A lot of Adam Sandler's movies, he tends to surround himself with people who tell it, don't tell him, you know, cut. And Happy Gilmore is fine. It's very sweet. It's very much like The Wedding Singer. And, you know, it has a few scenes that go on too long, but most of his movies have scenes that go on forever.
Yeah.
This felt like more like the latter to me. I mean, he's got a long contract with Netflix. I'm sure it was something that would fill the contractual obligation. If you love Happy Gilmore, you might like some of it. I didn't hate it, but it was time I won't be getting back.
So. What about Ed Gein, the Netflix monster series? You wrote about this recently in the Journal Sentinel. Such an odd figure, but a great cast. They showed Charles, I never know how to say his last name, Hunnam, I think, or Hunnam.
Hunnam, I think it's Hunnam,
Hunnam, and he looks really good, and I love Laurie Metcalf. Great cast.
Yeah, she's fantastic, and she's going to be the mother.
Yeah.
Supposed to be this repressive religious zealot who he becomes simultaneously freaked out by and obsessed by, and you can see her as Norman Bates' mother. Easily.
Right. Okay. And then I have to ask you, we also had one of our guests, I think it might have been Jimmy Cuska, K-pop Demon Hunters, one of the most streamed movies. I'm very aware of it. I haven't seen it. Who is it for? And what did you think of it, Chris?
Well, it's an animated movie about a K-pop girl group who also happen to be demon hunters. And one of them has a secret, and there's all sorts of, you know, in between these wacky pop songs are these wacky battles with demons. And it isn't much of anything, but it's hugely popular. Not just in, I mean, it's in English, you know, and it's on Netflix. So everything's in English on Netflix.
Right.
And it's fine. The soundtrack is like a number one seller worldwide. It's huge.
It's crazy. I know.
And I mean, it's big enough that they're bringing it back. They're bringing it to theater. Netflix never shows things in theaters except for the two that they own. And they won one in Los Angeles and one in New York. They do that so they can qualify for award stuff.
Right.
But they always, whenever they say it's going to be in theaters, it's never going to be in theaters really here, but they're bringing it to theaters in like a sing-along version next weekend. The 23rd and 24th, I think, which should tell you, you know, there's obviously, they feel like there's money to grab on this. It is, if you have kids, I think kids would love it if they like pop music. It's fine. It's pleasant. You know, it's a phenomenon though. I mean, and there's some of that, there's a lot of that this summer also coming. I think it's next weekend is another animated movie from Asia. This one's from China called Neja 2. It's a sequel. It's a, you know, like a boy who's a superhero character. They're bringing it back to theaters. This time it's dubbed in English. It is the number one, it is the top grossing movie of all time worldwide.
Whoa, really?
And it came out this year. And it just blew the lid off everything, everywhere. Huge in China, but it did very well here as well.
Hmm.
Now, obviously, there's an audience for this stuff. And as if you look at the box office stuff, I know our buddy Matt Miller talks about this stuff a lot too. Kids' movies do very well these days. So that's part of the drive. But I don't know that anybody thought it would be a phenomenon that it is. So it's for cultural reasons, it's on Netflix. It's worth checking out for sure.
You did, in our email exchange earlier, Chris, you said you saw Opus, which you said you thought I saw and didn't like. I did not see that. So I don't think that was me you were thinking of. But what is that? I'm not even familiar with that.
It's a really odd movie that came out in theaters earlier this year. It's on it's now streaming on HBO Max, about this reclusive rock legend played by John Malkovich, who, after years of not being heard from, invites a bunch of rock journalists to his big retreat camp compound to hear his new album. And what he's really doing is he's going to torture them all. And except for a young journalist who is earning, he knows that she'll tell his story, which will help him recruit more people to this cult that he's forming. And it's just odd, but it was an interesting movie. I thought you had seen it. It was one of those movies that no one knew how to market it, so no one went to see it. And it is not for everyone because it's pretty dark. But
right,
there's a lot of that kind of stuff this year. August is usually the time when the studios dump movies they didn't know what to do with, and there's a ton of stuff this month that is looking potentially be really good, also very dark. You mentioned you saw Weapons. Did you like Weapons?
You know, I didn't dislike it, Chris. I think my take on it was kind of like it was almost a great movie. Like it was just something that didn't click. I really liked Barbarian. I thought it was a lot cleaner. Weapons are there's just questions that I was kind of like it's creepy. I liked it, but I didn't love it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean that's going to be the number one movie at the box office again this week, probably.
Really? And, okay.
But it's up. But every week for the rest of August, this Friday is Nobody 2. Did you? I don't know if you saw Nobody. I thought Nobody was terrific.
I liked it a lot. I loved it. I'm excited to see the Denzel Washington Spike Lee film too.
If you see it playing in a theater near you, go see it because it ain't going to be there long. It's by Apple. It's an Apple TV movie. So they'll bury it out there on their streaming service soon enough. It looks great, though. It's based on highest to lowest is based on a Akira Kurosawa crime movie called, not samurai stuff, but a crime movie called High and Low that is just unbelievably great. In Milwaukee, the Oriental Theater is showing Highest to Lowest, and they're showing High and Low, which is kind of
awesome. Nice. I've heard that's an amazing film.
It's one of my favorite of Kurosawa, certainly. It's in maybe of all time period. It's just a really solid movie about in Kurosawa's version, it's about an industrialist who's a target of a kidnapping plot, but the kidnappers take his chauffeur's son by mistake.
Okay. Wow.
And so they got to figure out what they're going to do. And Denzel Washington, this one, plays a music mogul, similar stuff going on, but I think the stuff involved in it is different.
Let me guess. He's a music mogul, but he can also kick ass, and he used to be special ops or something like that's maybe, where everything.
I don't know. I mean, I to be honest, I think he plays his age in this a little bit. But I mean, he's still a tough guy. He stands out in Washington, so and Spike Lee does a good job with this kind of material, obviously.
Yeah.
So. But then next week there's a movie called Honey Don't coming out, directed by Ethan Coen.
Oh yeah.
With Margaret Qualley. It's kind of a 70s style noir thriller where she's a small town private eye who's trying to solve a murder and uncovers this charismatic preacher running some kind of a scam. The preacher's played by Chris Evans, you know, so that could be interesting. And the week after that, Darren Aronofsky, who either makes really traditional Hollywood movies or crazy stuff like Requiem for a Dream, has a movie called Caught Stealing with Austin Butler about a guy who does a favor for a friend and ends up being on the run, but from not one, but three different crime gangs. And
I'm excited to see that one. I was reading about that one. Chris Warren is my guest, ladies and gentlemen. Check out his work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He writes about entertainment. We got a text from Monica Hale who says, I love superhero movies, but I thought Fantastic Four was slow and boring. It's like all the actors were on mild sedatives. Chris, let's talk about, we had our political editor here at Civic Media was on the show last night. Big time Wire fan, Dan Shaver, as am I. I love The Wire. Where do you stand on the TV show The Wire?
I stand in a very sad place. I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have HBO when it came out.
Okay.
And so when I got HBO Max, the first thing I put in my stuff folder was The Wire. I still haven't. It's also like 70 seasons, so I haven't braced myself to block the time out for that yet. But it is high on my list. I don't know anybody who doesn't think it's the best show that was ever on television, with the exception of a couple of people who are still Sopranos diehards. I it's the writing is great. The context is great. What I've seen of it, I've seen, you know, portions of it. It looks really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll have to go a long way to be one of my favorite shows is Justified. It would have to go.
I love Justified. And I was just thinking recently about giving that a rewatch because it's been several years. Yeah. It's interesting. Like the Sopranos, I liked the show a lot. I gave it a rewatch about a year ago and I liked it less. Whereas The Wire, I've watched it two times through. I'm actually really excited for you because you have five seasons and that's an exciting thing. The last thing I want to talk about, or I have other stuff too, but if we have time, but is Carrie Coon. How great is she? She's
pretty great.
An Emmy again. I loved her in Fargo, loved her in White Lotus 3. And they're predicting she's going to win. She has a 65% chance of winning. This is her third time she's been nominated. Yeah. Don't know how they calculate that, but I would love to see her win.
And I'm surprised that she'd be the favorite because there's three people from that show, maybe four, nominated in that category.
I think you're right. Yeah.
That you would think that. I mean, it isn't that typical, you know, consistent. Not splitting the votes or anything. Yeah, she's great in pretty much everything. She's one of the bad guys in Avengers: Infinity War and Endgame. I mean, she's and people forget, you know, about that she was in The Leftovers and all these other great things. And as we like to bring up every single time we mention her, that, you know, she went to UW-Madison, studied theater. She was at American Players. She was in a really great, I thought, went under the radar, mostly because it was a Netflix movie. And if they're not promoting it for an Oscar, it doesn't get any attention. She was in this movie, I want to say, was it His Three Daughters, I think?
Okay.
About these three sisters who come together to take care of their father who's dying. And it's Elizabeth Olsen, Natasha Lyonne, and Carrie Coon. And she is just...
Oh, wow.
I mean, no surprise. She's great. She's great in everything.
She's fantastic. The next time you're here, Chris, we'll have to talk to... I know you said you've been watching Poker Face. I haven't gotten to season two yet, but let's discuss that next time. In the meantime, I cannot thank you enough. I know you're on vacation. Well-earned. And thanks so much for jumping on with us, as always.
Thanks for having me on, as always, Pete.
You got it. All right, that's Chris Foran. Check out his work in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You will never be bored, folks. He's a great writer and always fun to talk to. And the other thing I wanted to talk to him about, Con, that we didn't get to was The Onion put a headline out that said the Fonz statue was taken down in Milwaukee.
Really?
No, it wasn't an Onion headline. I did the same thing when I read it, but it was an Onion headline. It said they wanted to get rid of their greaser past.
Okay.
Milwaukee, so that was fantastic. All right. When we come back, folks, I got a lot of text to get through. You guys are great tonight on the text line. We'll cover those next. Before we get out of here, this is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. In the sky, among the clouds in your heaven.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.